Strong Old Baptist Church on this Wednesday evening. We all find our seats and grab a songbook. We'll get started. If you would please open up to song number 325. Song number 325, Trust and Obey. Song number 325. Help us all to learn before we go our separate ways this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. survey the wondrous cross. Song number 5.
This time we're going to go through our announcements. If you don't have a bulletin, just slip your hand up real high, and one of our ushers will make sure that we get one out to you. If you open up to the first page, you will see our service times listed there. As always, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening again at 5 o'clock. Wednesday night at 7 is our Bible study. Pardon me, we've got the soul winning opportunities listed there, as well as our salvations and baptisms for the month of August, as well as for the year. We've got the offering totals down there at the bottom of the page, also received through the month of August. Let's go ahead. If there's any salvation numbers to report, just slip your hand up real quick. We'll get those counted up. Yes, sir? One on Monday. Amen. Anybody else? All right. Good job. Keep up the good work. Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Prayer requests. We had an update added to for Rigo. I'll have to reread Rigo's update. I know he's been released, but they're still going through some other hardships. He's unable to walk on his own, unfortunately. That's obviously going to be very critical for him being able to work, is being able to walk. I'm pretty sure he does work with Brother Jeff. They do a lot of landscaping, construction, all kinds of that type of work, manual labor work. So he really is going to need to get back to work. So pray for him and his family. Pray he gets complete healing, gets good employment. And they're also looking for a new place to live. So I believe they're out of the place they were staying at. So please please pray for Rigo and his family. And I don't know how he didn't make it on the list. I had him on there. In any case, make sure they stay on the list. And then, of course, pray for all of our ladies who are with child and everybody else who is on this list. We may not be receiving updates all the time, especially with people who are dealing with some very serious long-term health problems. Please don't forget to pray for all of them. And does anyone have any updates? Yes, sir.
My coworker about her
grandmother.
Grandmother, she did pass away.
She passed. Mm-hmm. How long ago? Do you know about,
I don't know,
like?
They had the funeral today, so.
Okay, so probably not too long ago. So if you didn't hear that, we're praying for Victor's grandmother, and she had passed away a little bit earlier this week. So we believe it's earlier this week. They just had a funeral services today. So just pray for comfort for his whole family. And any other updates? And that wasn't unexpected. That was what they were anticipating already. But obviously it's still very, very sad time for the family, so please pray for them. All right, if there's no other updates, then on the next page. We had a great soul winning event on that Saturday. Last Saturday is awesome. We went to Charlotte, North Carolina. 70 people were there, and just a really good day overall. A lot of people got saved, 66 salvations, what we counted up. And there's a lot of people joined us from North Carolina, some people from South Carolina, people from Georgia, all over the place. So, and beyond, Canada, Tennessee, so we're really reaching a lot of people. A lot of people are following our ministry, so this is awesome too. It's exciting to get more people excited about serving the Lord, and when people get real excited to just take it on themselves to drive out and join up with us and just do the work, it's amazing, because even though a lot of those people don't necessarily attend church here, they bring that same zeal and excitement back with them wherever they're serving the Lord in their local churches. So just remember that. Remember that when we have events, that you are an encouragement for all those other people that show up too. It really is. I mean, they're a big encouragement for me. I love seeing all those people. I'm sure you do too. But at the same time, you know, of course, it's reciprocated. We you know, we're a blessing to them, and they get a lot of edification from coming to our event. So if you don't normally attend our events, think about starting to come to, especially the soul winning events. It's a big deal. So anyways, appreciate everybody that was there for that. And we got another one that'll be coming up in the fourth quarter this year to Chattanooga. So I'll give the details on that a little bit later. It won't be in December, I can tell you that much. December is just too busy as of a month in general. So it'll probably be November if you're just kind of trying to gauge it, but not too late because we got Thanksgiving at the end of November. So probably that time frame, but I'm not ruling out October either. So just something to think about. I'm going to kind of check on the weather up in Chattanooga and see what it looks like. Things are normally like different, you know, October, November time of year. So in any case, let's continue on here. September Challenge. September Challenge is a church attendance. So the goal is to just basically come to church every time there's a service, which is for us 3 times a week. And if you are unable to make it to our church, to go to a church that, you know, legitimate church, go to church for one of the services. If you're not able to make it to ours, find a church to go to. And church is so important. So that's a challenge for this month. Giving you a little bit of break after that, the Bible memory passage is significant. I think that was a really good challenge. Hebrews chapter 9. So we definitely had some people complete that, and it was a lot of hard work went into that. So good job for those of you who completed that. You will be getting prizes soon. I'm not making any guarantees, though. I don't make vows on prizes because I don't have the best track record for being on time with all that. But it will come. So just keep coming. This is how I keep people coming back to church. Like, oh, you sold me a prize. Well, you'll get it. Just keep coming. You'll get a prize. Hebrews 10 is our next Bible memory passage. I split this in half because it's a pretty long chapter. So we're going back to our pace of about 2 verses a week. And I'm telling you, I wholeheartedly believe this pace is possible for anybody to do this. All Bible memory requires effort, but this is very doable. It does not require too much time on a day-to-day basis, it doesn't really require a whole lot to do that. If you stay consistent, if you can do, say, I'm going to set aside 5 to 10 minutes, really, 2 verses a week is about 5 to 10 minutes per day. Maybe a little bit more as you start adding on more of the verses getting closer to the end to try to keep all of it in context, but really in memory. But it's not that much time. So I encourage you to participate in this if you don't normally do any Bible memory. Hebrews 10, great passage to memorize. Upcoming birthdays and anniversaries are listed there. Let's see, what is today's date? Anyways, today's the 6th. Man, we got all these September birthdays and anniversaries and none today. So, Silas, you just barely missed it. One day. Next year you get that ice cream. Although, I don't know, I think next year is a leap year. It's going to screw everything up, so we'll see. All right, on the back we've got the upcoming events. The homeschool field trip is this Friday. So if you haven't RSVP'd already, it might be too late. I don't know. Is it too late? Or maybe squeeze them in if people want to show up. They after tonight. Okay, make sure you get your let the Johnsons know if you plan on attending a homeschool field trip. It's going to be right here. So it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. The sign-up sheet is over there. They have a couple more that are in the works and being scheduled. There's more field trips to come. We'll give more announcements about that on Sunday in the bulletin. But just for those of you that may be curious, I am, there's a lot of things coming up. I'll be announcing them soon, but I've been trying to not spend as much money for the church in general because we've got some bigger plans that are coming up. So homeschool field trips was one of those things, which is why we're not doing some of the more expensive trips that we've done in the past. We're trying to really just keep pay close attention to where we're spending on everything, and it's for a very, very good reason. So like I said, I think everyone will be on board with that, and this ties in also with part of the decision making for the camping trip as well with the cottages. So that is going to be left up to you if you want to reserve a cottage to decide if it's worth spending the money on it. We'll keep them held and then let them go when it gets when we have to, if no one wants to sign up for them. So that is how that is going to work. But it's totally up to you. We're going to hold the place so that no one else can scoop it up before you get a chance to do that. And then of course the other events are listed there. Talked about these quite a bit, so that's about it for our announcements. Let's go ahead and turn to our next song. Let's turn our song books to song number 129.
Song 129. offering, of course, our Wednesday night offering, goes to support our missionary right now, Brother Matthew Stuckey, which he is going to be ordained as pastor very shortly, within a couple of weeks. So that's really exciting news. I need to reach out and speak to him to see how their ministry is going. We may or may not continue to support him as they're independent. If they need resources still, because Philippines doesn't, it's not the richest country, then I have no problem continuing to support a church just as much as someone who's not ordained as a pastor. Whether or not he's actually ordained as pastor doesn't necessarily mean we have to stop sending support if they need it. So, of course, we'll give the support if he needs it. But just the fact that he's being ordained and becoming independent, I'll talk to him and see if they are pretty financially stable anyways, and then maybe we'll consider some other options. But just so you know, Wednesday night giving, you give on Wednesday night, or you can obviously still give to missions on a Sunday as well. Just make it marked on your giving, however you decide to give, that you want that money to go towards missions, because we do keep that money separate. And that money goes 100% to people that I know are doing a very good job out on the field. So they're not just sitting back, collecting a paycheck, and wasting your money on a permanent vacation somewhere and with a cush job. They are doing the work of the Lord, and that's where I want my money going. I want to support someone doing the work. And Brother Stuckey is an awesome guy, great soul winner, great heart for the Lord, and definitely someone that I'm very happy to support in any way that we can. So anyways, all that being said, let's open up our Bibles this evening, Psalm 70. I'm going to ask Brother Dakota if he would come up and read this psalm for us this evening, Psalm 70.
That's Psalm 70 once again. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for reward of their shame that say, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, Let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us to gather here tonight. And I ask that you will bless Pastor Burton and allow him to edify us. And just thank you for allowing us to come here and keep us all safe as we make our way home. And bless the singing and the brothership afterwards. Thank you. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, obviously Psalm 70 is not very long. It's only five verses. It's also a very familiar theme that we've seen quite a bit in the book of Psalms as well. And one thing I want to point out, and I believe I mentioned this when we went through Psalm 40, but if you want to put another bookmark in Psalm 40, we're going to be comparing the two a little bit tonight, because the latter portion, kind of the last section of Psalm 40, is almost identical to Psalm 70. So these are like literally the same concepts coming up, being repeated in the Word of the Lord. And as I've mentioned before, when things are repeated more frequently, we ought to pay more attention to them. And that's why I have no problems preaching, even if some of the topics are very similar and I kind of cover some of the same things. It just means let's absorb as much as possible. If we need to keep on hearing some of the same type of theme, then let's strengthen ourselves in those things and be aware of those things. And especially in this particular psalm, in these five verses, there's one thing in particular that really stood out to me. That's throughout these five verses, or this I call it the feeling of this psalm. Is what I subtitled the sermon for tonight, and it's Make Haste Unto Me. And let's just reread this real quick. The Bible says, Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. And then it says there on the, let them be ashamed, confounded, that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Again, it's this theme of people coming after you and you being in trouble. And he's saying, God, please come quickly. Like, I need you now, Lord. Please come and help me out right now. Let them be turned back for a reward for their shame that say, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. So, and this is a much more truncated version of what we've seen elaborated on a lot more in some of the other Psalms, where there's the plea for help. There's the wicked people being mentioned, judgment coming upon them, and all those that love the Lord being rejoicing and being happy in God, in their defender, in their salvation. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified, references to praising the Lord. And then verse 5, but I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. So the first verse and the last verse twice makes mention of the speed with which the psalmist here wants God to help, to deliver, to be there. And of course, we could probably all relate to this. When you're going through the difficult times, when someone's literally might be coming after you, that's when you want God to, I want you here now, right? Like, please help me now, because there's threats now, because whoever is seeking after me and seeking after my soul wants to do me harm. Lord, please help me now. And there's nothing, first of all, I just want to say, there's nothing wrong with asking God to help you, like, immediately with issues right now. This is a common theme. This is something that we see being asked of the Lord many times. But we also have to remember, along with that, that our time frame is not always the same as God's time frame. Right? While we have the urgency in our minds and in our hearts, oftentimes that urgency is really because we just don't know how things are going to go. We don't know what's next. And it's not our fault for not knowing, but that's why the urgency is there. It's like, man, I don't know what's going to happen. God, just please come and save me right now. But see, God does know what's going to happen. God has foreknowledge in everything. And the hard part is when things are urgent for us to remember that, to call to memory that even though it might not seem like God is right there saving you in that instant, it doesn't mean he's not hearing you. It doesn't mean he's forgotten about you. It doesn't mean that he's, now I'm just going to, where is God? I'm just going to lose my faith in God, right? Because God knows all things. And the purpose for why God does what he does and when he does is known only unto him, right? Now, oftentimes we know later. We could come to understand and see some of the wisdom in going through some of the hard times much later. But in the moment, we don't always know that. And this the main thing that stuck out about this psalm to me is that urgency, that sense of, Lord, please come right now. And that ought to be the first place that we go to at any sign of trouble, is going to the Lord and just seeking him early, right? And not waiting to the last minute, but sometimes it's just the way it comes up. We ought to have a good relationship with the Lord where we're listening to him on a regular basis. We're hearing from him. We're in the word. We're in prayer to God. So then when things do happen, it's not out of the ordinary either, right? We're maintaining a good relationship. Now, I had you turn to Psalm 40, and we're just going to go through this really quickly as well. And we're going to compare Psalm 40 with Psalm 70. So you could, if you want to look at Psalm 40, you could look at Psalm 40. If you want to look at Psalm 70, you could look at Psalm 70. I'll be reading out of Psalm 40. In fact, if you want to just look at Psalm 70, this might be better. I'll start reading from Psalm 40, verse 13, and you can just look at the words in Psalm 70 and see how close they are and where the differences are. So verse 13 is where we're going to start in Psalm 40. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. So at verse 13, make haste to help me is found verbatim in verse number 1 of Psalm 70. Verse 14, let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. So one thing that's added here, of course, is to destroy it. It's pretty much inferred in Psalm 70, but here it spells it out in verse 14 of Psalm 40. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame, that say unto me, aha, aha. And that's that attitude of, aha, yeah, aha. And the wicked doer that he's saying, let them be desolate for a reward of their shame. And it's that attitude. It's the same attitude that the wicked people had of Jesus Christ when he was up on the cross, and they're saying, oh, you know, come down from the cross now. Or, you're not so tough now. Oh, where's all your miracles? Why don't you just come down off the cross now? I mean, if you're really the Christ. You know, and they're mocking and scorning and ridiculing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But this is the same thing that, you know, it's the same pattern that a lot of wicked people will do, is use this scorn and have that aha, aha type of an attitude. And what's being requested here of the Lord is saying, hey, let them be turned back. Like when they think they're winning, when they think everything is going good for them and bad for you, that's when they want to scorn. That's when they want to have this type of an attitude. And he's saying, you know, let them be desolate. Let them be emptied out. Let them be turned away backward, God. You know, turn them around. Turn the tables back on them. And let that be a reward of their shame. Now, shame, the shamefulness and the shame that goes along with the wicked doer is found, again, all throughout Scripture. And I'll get back to going through Psalm 40 if you just stay in Psalm 70. Actually, flip back if you would to Psalm 35. Psalm 35 also is very similar in the theme, at least this portion of Psalm 35 that we're going to read with Psalm 70 as well as the latter portion of Psalm 40. Not quite as identical as Psalm 40 is, but we're going to start reading Psalm 35 and verse number 15. The Bible says, but in mine adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and ceased not. With hypocritical mockers in feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. And, you know, this gnashing upon with the teeth, this isn't like a literal, like they're chewing off parts of his flesh. It means they're like backbiting, and they're saying a lot of nasty things, and they're using their mouth like a weapon against them. And that's what it means when they're gnashing on them with their teeth. And I've heard some people say things before that will you know, they might think otherwise, but this is literally just talking about them saying just biting and devouring, like the Bible say, biting and devouring one another. You do that with your words. Obviously, that's not a physical thing. And these are the abject or rejects, right, that are gathered themselves together. And he says, look, and I didn't even know it. They tear at me. They don't stop. It's giving some of the characteristics of people who are rejects. Like Romans 1 talks about that they're unmerciful, and they have this rage inside of them against everything that's good and godly. And it's amazing how triggered these people that hate God can get. I mean, it's exactly what we experienced. And it's amazing when you get across these people sometimes when they're going to let their true colors show. Because sometimes they don't let their true colors show on who they are. As the psalmist says here in Psalm 35, he's like, I didn't know it. Right? They gathered themselves together against me, but I didn't even know it. They were doing things in secret. Because a lot of times these people do things in secret. And then when it comes out in the open, it's like, oh man, these guys are relentless. And for those of you that didn't hear, we had this story of going out soul winning on Sunday. And I mean, it's like I knew right away. First of all, I had a little bit of an understanding just because Brother DJ had told me in the past, like he's like, hey, I went to this place and you know, kind of told me what happened. But I didn't really understand much about it other than just this happened. They called the cops on us, which is like, okay, just because someone calls the cops doesn't mean that they're just like a total God hater or anything else. People get upset about different things, and that doesn't automatically just make them some reject or God hater, right? But in this case, it's like we just show up, and as soon as we just get started doing anything, it's just they're coming out, and they're just like, man, you got to get out of here, and they're yelling and all this other stuff. And just from the very get-go, lies just start foaming out of this guy's mouth. So that while he's like, I know who you are. You've been here before. I'm like, you're a liar. You're a liar. You know who I am, then what's my name if you know me? Oh, you can't tell me my name? You say, oh, have you seen me here before? I've been here before. I've never been here a day in my life. Never stepped foot on that property ever once in my life. It's true. Never have. Never been here before. Never been to this place. Never seen me before. Doesn't know me. But just right off the bat just starts lying. And it's like, that's how, you know, that's a very first, like that's the first interaction. It's not going very well. And he says, you guys got to get air, blah, 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 blah. It's like, you know what? No, we're gonna keep doing what we're doing. He's like, well, I'm going to call the cops. Go ahead and call the cops. You could call the cops if you want. It's fine with me, but I've got work to do. So we'll see you. And they would not stop. It was relentless. The people, they just harassing and going after. And, you know, they were angry because then the cops didn't kick us out because they're like, they're, you know, we're just doing what we have every right to do. And, the guy ended up posting something on social media, and it's like every single statement that he made on social media was a lie. And it's like these people just, one, they're in such a rage against the Lord. And the reason why they didn't want us there, by the way, you know, these people are homos. And by one testimony of one of the residents, they're a pedophile. So I don't know specifically, like, but the guy admitted, I'll tell you this much, when we were leaving, because these people just would not stop. And when we're leaving, I was like, oh, are you the sodomites? And he said, well, yes. I said, well, that's why you hate God so much. And we left. I mean, that was it. It wasn't a big confrontation. They're sitting in their car and they're recording and, you know, like I'm recording, like, go ahead, record me. I'm being recorded right now, too, as I tell this story. That's exactly what happened. I actually record everything that I preach, and I put it out for the world to see. So you could record me asking you if you're a sodomite. And why don't you put that part up where you said, well, yes. Because he's not going to put that up because he lied when he posted on social media saying, oh, we have to live in fear. Why do we have to live in fear of these people? He preaches, kill the gays. Like, no. No, I don't. I preach that it ought to be against the law and that there ought to be a court and a trial and that it ought to be a law in the books and it ought to be a capital crime. Right. It's not let's go gay bashing, right? Which is why I was making it sound like, oh, I was in fear for my safety. You were so in fear for your safety that you're chasing us around the complex? Boy, you sound like you're really afraid. But that's how he wants to portray it to everybody else. It's the victim card. Oh, it's the, oh, woe is me. Oh, we have to be fearful. Who knows what these lunatics are going to do when, in fact, they're the lunatics. Yeah, right. And again, based on the test, and man, I had to leave because there was one family I was talking to, and they were just going on and on and on and on about all these stories with these people because they're running their HOA there. I mean, you talk about the worst HOA in the world, I think this takes the cake. They said they had some transgender as the president and then these other homos on the board as well. It's like it seemed like every member who's on this board is just a sodomite. And they had it out for not just us, but everyone in that community. It's just crazy. It's the only place I've been to where the people were like telling us how crazy they were. I mean, I live in an HOA. I don't even know who's on the board, let alone if some stranger came to my house to talk about the Bible. It's not some big thing in the forefront of my mind. I'm just going to be like, man, these guys are so wicked, and they're nuts, and they're doing this, and they're doing that, and they're, you know. It's like, good night. Right? People tell me, like, they're evil, they're wicked. Yeah. That's what I've been saying for a long time. And then I find out they're home. It's like, well, yeah, of course. Well, that makes perfect sense. That's what I've been saying. Anyways, I don't want to get too far. Every single statement that that person made, though, was every single one was a lie. He said, I called him a sodomite. No, I didn't. I asked him a question. Are you the sodomites? To which he said yes. You're calling me names. He said, I called him a name when he first came to the door, and I called him a liar. So that's not a name. It's an adjective. It describes what you are. You're lying. And you're calling me names. Crazy. This is these are the type of people, though, and what even why this even popped in my mind, besides that we were just talking about before service, is in this place they have cameras all over the place too, and they're like watching everybody that comes in, and all the residents all the time. That's how they knew after the very first building. We were there that they approached us to get us out of the community because they're just watching. It's creepy. It's weird. But it's this conspiring weirdos. Anyways, let's keep going here. I don't even know, Let's keep going here in Psalm 35. Verse number 17, I think, is where we were. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. And one more point here real quick, okay, and keep your place in Psalm 35. Turn, if you would, just real quick to Romans 1. I just want to make this point. I think it's important to make this point. And this is the point that people like me, other preachers, that believe the same way that I do about this subject. There's a reason why we scream and yell about this and why it comes up and why we warn and why we preach about this. It's because the brainwashing has been going on for way too long. Because the public perception of the alphabet animals is nowhere near where it needs to be. We need to ratchet things back to the way it used to be, where people would understand, no, these guys are freaks and perverts and weirdos, and don't let your kids around them because they're dangerous. Yeah, that's right. People used to understand that fact. It's a fact. They prey. They're predators. They prey on people. They want to hurt people. They hurt each other. It's the most destructive lifestyle, if you want to call it that. It is extremely destructive to those in it as well as those around them. To the kids that are around them, to the people involved in it. That's why this is no surprise to law enforcement or anyone else that's involved, because they see what happens. There's a reason why all these serial killers and mass murderers, you find out, oh yeah, they're homos. Because who they really are is not who the media is portraying them to be. They're not the simple, harmless little, oh, he's just a silly little faggot. You know, just, oh, he's cute and funny and whatever, right? And just some flaming fairy bouncing around that wouldn't hurt a fly. No, that's what they're going to try to tell you and make you think that they are. But look, don't be deceived. That's how they act when they want to be accepted. That's how they act when they don't want to be viewed as a threat. But make no mistake about it, the more bold they get, the more their true colors are really going to come out. The more they feel like they could get away with stuff, the more the law is going to endorse them, the more that people in general are going to be accepting it, the worse and worse they're going to get, until it literally does turn out to be like Sodom. Amen. Where the Sodomites can environ a house roundabout that just has some righteous people doing wholesome things inside, enjoying a meal, and people are just going to come banging on the door looking to do vile, reprehensible, unspeakable things to the guests that showed up to the house. And they're not going to be afraid to do it because there's so many of them. Because now they're going to feel comfortable doing that. And Romans 1 gives us an insight into what they're really about in the heart. See, anybody can put up a mask. Anybody can put on the costume. Anyone can put on the sheep's clothing and make themselves look harmless. But don't be deceived by these people, which is why the Bible outlines everything that it does right here. And when we look at this, it talks about being people given over to reprobate mind, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And just to point this out, show me the pride flag waving person on the, marching up and down the street that doesn't hate God. And when I say hate God, I mean the God, like the God of the Bible. Not some made-up God, not some spiritualness or anything else. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They hate the God of the Bible. They hate the Word of God. They hate it with passion. And that, I mean, anybody can see that. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, they're filthy, they're dirty, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, it's full of malice, right? Wanting to hurt people, that's what maliciousness is. Full of envy, murder, deceit, or debate, deceit, malignity, maligning people, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, there's your pride, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. They can't be placated. That's what that means. They'll never be satisfied, and they don't show mercy. And if you haven't already started to see this picture with today's cancel culture, it's not enough for someone to say they're sorry. It's not, they want to destroy them down to the ground. Anyone says anything contrary, they want you dead. They want to stamp them out and wipe them off the face of this earth because they're implacable and they're unmerciful. And it was, oh, we just want to love who we want to love. Oh, we just want to get married. Oh, we just want to adopt children. Oh, we just want, you know, and it's never enough. They're never going to be satisfied. To the point to where they're just going to bite and devour one another, too. It's insanity. We need the Word of God to shed light on this stuff because there's so many lies out there. But as we continue, I think it just becomes so much more obvious. The Bible's right. You see the attributes, you see the characteristics more and more increasingly coming out and making themselves known to where the things that I say now are considered less and less radical in light of what people can actually see now. Even 5 or 10 years ago, it seemed more extreme because they hadn't gotten as open as they are now, and they're going to continue to get worse. I mean, I'm sorry, when you could just boldly march into some public library, cross-dressed and just literally just go for the kids and try to teach them that perversion is just fine. I mean, how far has society gone when that is going to be considered acceptable by anybody in a society? And people aren't just completely flipping out. And I mean, Jesus flipped over the money changers' tables. Anybody in a library like that, I'll be flipping out and flipping those people out the door. They're going to try to influence children with their perversion. That's disgusting. And that's why, you know, Jesus flipped over the money changers' tables, but he rained fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's keep going here. So the plea in Psalm 35 to rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Here comes that praise, right, which we also see in Psalm 70. Verse 19, let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, aha, aha, our eye hath seen it. It's the same attitude. You notice how these are linked together. They're saying the same thing. It's the same type of people. It's the same wicked group that are going to go after the righteous without a cause because they hate God, because they hate the things of God. They hate the people of God, and they won't rest unless they do some wicked, some evil. Verse 22, this thou hast seen, O Lord, keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Now, when he's saying here, judge me, he's not saying like, judge me for my sins. He's saying, judge me because I haven't done anything to them. Judge my situation. Judge me. Judge everything that's happening to me, God. That's what he's asking for. It would be anyone who's being wronged is going to want to go to judge and be like, hey, can I get some judgment here? Can you please judge me? Can you judge my situation? That's what he's saying. That's why he's going to God saying, like, look, judge me according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, ah, so would we have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Flip back, if you would, to Psalm 6. I'm going to read from Philippians 3. Philippians 3:18, the Bible says this, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. It's like, how many different ways can we spell this out? How many different groups of people are there that if you just think of the most shameful thing that they're going to take pride in or glory in that? I mean, literally, pride as it's known today. What is that pride in? It's pride in being a pervert. It's pride in doing something that is probably one of the most shameful acts that any person can commit. It is full of shame for a man to lie with a man or a woman to lie with a woman, and they glory in that shame. Amen. This is what the Bible's talking about. This is what it's talking about. Amen. Like, come on, wake up, people. This is what the Bible's talking about. These are wicked people. They're not the only wicked people in this world, but it's kind of like to those that want to say, oh, we're tolerant, we love you. No. How tolerant and loving are you towards a pedophile? That's the same amount of tolerance and love you should have towards these guys, towards the pride community, because it's the same people. For the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, God is in their belly, and glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Psalm 6, verse number 10, the Bible says, let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. And Lord, please, let these wicked perverts be ashamed. Amen. Even though they glory in their shame, God, let them be ashamed and confounded in the sight of the whole world. That's my prayer today. Just like the psalmist. Let them be ashamed, dear Lord. I'm sick of the righteous having to, you know, people trying to even feel ashamed for what they believe in if they're believing in the truth and they're believing in the Bible. And it is a shame if you're ashamed of the truth. Don't be one of these people that's afraid and ashamed to say what you actually believe about the Word of God and about these perverts. They're the ones that ought to be ashamed, not you. Let them be ashamed. Let mine enemies be ashamed. Psalm 25, I'm going to turn to Psalm 25, verse number 2, the Bible reads, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Similar themes, talking about, look, don't let me be ashamed, let them be ashamed. I'll read this for you. Psalm 119, verse 78 says, let the proud be ashamed. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 10, the Bible reads, for I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. The mercilessness of the enemy against the Christian, against the believer, against the righteous, I mean, they are just going to be watching. And you know, the more that you serve the Lord, the more enemies you're going to garner of people that want to bring you down. It's a fact. Just wait. It's coming here. It's coming here. It's a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. People that hate God are going to be doing the same exact thing like they did to Jeremiah, like they did to Ezekiel, like they did to John the Baptist, like they did to pretty much every prophet of God, Elijah. Go on and on and on with all the men of God that had these people watching and waiting. Daniel, how about that? There's people, just wicked people, just looking to tear him down at any moment. Nothing but hatred in their heart for Daniel. And Daniel's a righteous guy. What did he do to them? Nothing. They were just envious and covetous. Verse 11, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. The righteous indignation and the righteous pursuit of judgment from the Lord is found throughout the Bible. This isn't a one-off passage. The book of Psalms is not a one-off book of like, oh, well, yeah, in the Psalms he's looking for judgment. Look, no. There's nothing wrong with seeking judgment against the evildoer, the wicked people that hate the righteous for no cause, that are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their belly, and they glory in their shame. There's nothing wrong with wanting to see God bring judgment upon those people. There's nothing wrong with it. It's literally being taught in Scripture here. We see holy men of God as they spake by the Holy Ghost saying these things. And as I've mentioned in the past, yes, we need the right balance. Because this is not your average person. The wicked doer, the evil doer here that they're talking about, that's not your average unbeliever or your average sinner. It's not. It's not the same thing. The majority of the world is just full of what I would just call or categorize as average sinners. The vast majority of the world. And then you've got a small amount of the world that are believers, and another small amount of the world that are these evil, wicked doers that don't sleep unless they've done some evil. And it's that simple. And that's where we just have to have the discernment and understanding of going, oh, okay, well, take the Bible as a whole. As a whole, we see a lot of mercy and a lot of long-suffering and a lot of loving our enemies and a lot of doing good unto those that hate us. And, you know, yes, absolutely. But, hey, how many times do we see, Lord, these people, I didn't do anything to them, and they're coming after me, and they're judging, you know, and all this other stuff. God, judge them. God, they hate you. Judge them. Don't let them prevail. Psalm 70. Let's go back to Psalm 70. There's not much more I wanted to point out there with Psalm 40. It's almost, they are almost identical, and I did kind of cover that a little bit before, the differences. I don't think there's anything striking between the similarities between the two. A lot of times when you find parallel passages in the Bible, there's a lot you could learn. And it is good for understanding meanings of words if anything seems to be particular troubling or you're not quite understanding what something means and you've got a parallel passage. Yeah, look at, put them side by side and you just get the same sense of what something means when you read them side by side. I didn't seem to think, at least in my estimation, that there's anything that's very difficult to comprehend in either Psalm 70 or Psalm 40, which is why I'm not going super in-depth on that. They're all words that are relatively common for us that are not going to be that hard to understand. But just making the point abroad in general that when you see things like this, and they're two different psalms, and they're songs, right? So having things that kind of repeat themselves. I mean, even in our hymns, there's songs that are very similar, right? There's Alas and Did My Savior Bleed, right? And was it At the Cross? Right, there's kind of reusing some of the same words, the same lyric, but two different songs, and one has more words than the other. You know, it's the different compositions of similar truths or the same truth. Well, it's the same thing here with Psalm 70 and Psalm 40, right? It's the same truths being expressed, but literally in the Word of God, of course. But let's finish out this. There's one other thought. So the reward of their shame For those that say, aha, aha, the wicked doer, and that's how I tied that in with some of those other passages to give us just a little bit broader context, since we only got like a verse or two on these wicked people, to just expand that out a little bit to see in other contexts, other scripture, the type of person we're talking about here. And we see how it is the same type of person that's consistent with the same teaching throughout scripture. Verse 4, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation, look at this, say continually, let God be magnified. As we often see in the Psalms, particularly, the command to praise God, to exalt his name. And let those that love God say this continually. Don't keep silent about this, whether it be opening up your mouth and praise to the Lord in song or just in general out in the world. Okay, how about you praise and glorify God, especially in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation and a dark world that we live in now. We need that light to shine ever increasingly as it gets darker and darker out there. But verse 5, I'm just going to, this is the last point. And this really, this also really stood out to me in this passage as I was preparing for the sermon. Keep in mind, Psalm 70 is a psalm of David, according to the title. To the chief musician, a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. Verse 5, but I am poor and needy. Wait a minute. Wasn't David a king? Didn't he have a lot of riches? Didn't he live in probably a pretty nice place as the king? Sure. But that's not what he's talking about. He's poor and needy in another sense, right? And this is his self-view of himself. He's not looking at himself as high and mighty and powerful and wealthy and, oh, everybody look to me. He had a humble, contrite heart and spirit. This is why he got so far as he did. This is why he's used as the example as you look at the subsequent kings of Judah that were to follow after him and in his household, that he is being the standard of, well, they did well, but not like their father David. Or he did followed in all his ways like David his father did. And he's just constantly being compared to David. It's this attitude. It's the mindset. Because we can look at David and be like, you know what? He did some really bad things. Really, really, really bad things. Murder, adultery. Look, it's horrible. I mean, he sent one of his own mighty men to his death after he slept with his wife and got her pregnant and made him carry his own death sentence to Joab. That's pretty cold. He definitely deserved the death penalty. God had mercy on him, but here's what we see about David, though. He absolutely was far from perfect, but he did have the right heart, and that's the exception in his life, that horrible, grievous sin was the exception over all those years, though, in general, of the way that he lived, the way that he served. He served God with his heart. He glorified the Lord, rejoiced at bringing in the Ark of the Covenant and bringing in the things of God and trying to build up the house of the Lord and wanting to do all of these things for God, adding the instruments and the music to praise and worship the Lord, as well as having the heart for the people, a heart for righteous judgment and justice and doing what's right. Even when his own family is trying to do things wrong, he's saying, nope, we got to do what's right. It was right in the eyes of the Lord, especially whether it's King Saul, who is the Lord's anointed. He's saying, nope, can't lift my hand up against him. He you know what he had? Integrity. It's called integrity. And it's called a humble heart, to where he could say, look, I'm poor and needy. And it's not a mockery of people who don't have physical goods, because this is even more important in the sense of being humble and being in need of the Lord, being in need of the things of God, being poor spiritually, being poor and needing the things of God. Look, I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. God, I need you. He didn't rely on his physical strength. He wasn't relying on his army. He says, God, I need you. I need you. I'm poor. I'm needy. I'm weak. I need you, Lord. That's the attitude that we need to have. That's why the Bible says in Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not just the poor on this earth, but the poor in spirit. How meek and lowly are you? Jesus Christ was our example, right? The Bible says he was meek and lowly when he rode in on an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is the last place we'll look at tonight. We'll wrap this up. 'There's a lot of statements made here in 2 Corinthians 6. I'm not going to go through all of them, but just to get the context of what we're talking about before we get into this great list of things, verse number 4 says, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. So then it's going to go through this list of all these ways that we approve ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in, you know, all these different things. Jump down to verse number 10. It's in the same context of approving ourselves as the ministers of God, as the servants of God, as the people who are humbly serving and ministering. Verse 10, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. That's the heart, that's the mindset, that's the attitude of being someone, look, I'm poor, but I'm going to make you rich. I'm willing to give of myself. I'm willing to give everything to help you succeed. That's the heart of a minister. That's the heart of someone who's going to succeed. That's the heart of someone who's going to approve themselves in the sight of God. I care about you. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. That's why blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You give up the things here. You sacrifice here. You live for God here. You allow yourself to be mocked and ridiculed and made fun of. But you know what? In the end, there's going to be a reckoning. In the end, God will exalt those that have humbled themselves. Those that are based here and now, God's going to lift up and glorify. You just stay at it. You stay meek. You stay humble. You stay as the poor in spirit. And you know what? You've got the whole kingdom of God in front of you. It is all worth it. It is worth it. And sometimes the troubles will just help to keep us in that mindset of being poor and needy. Hey, I'm needy, God. I'm needy. We don't like being needy with other people in general, right? Like, I don't want to be needy towards someone else, but we ought to be needy towards God. Because we're recognizing, hey, God's a father. I'm just an adopted son, okay? I love God. I want to please him, but I need a lot. I'm in this wicked flesh. I've got all kinds of things coming at me. They're going to try to get me to stop serving him. Lord, I need you to help me. Lord, I need you to help me when people are coming after me. I need you to help me protect my children. I need you to help me get through each day so I could serve you. You know, look, I'm needy. And when we recognize how needy we are, then your eyes should be on the Lord. When your eyes are on the Lord, your eyes are on the ways of the Lord, how can you fail? How, you can't. You may not possess anything here, but that's not failure. as possessing nothing, yet what? Having all things, what does it say? Possessing all things, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. That's how we live. Who'd have thought? Well, you guys know me by now. Five verses. But so deep, so profound, so much meaning packed into five verses of the Bible. The truth is all throughout Scripture. And I know a lot of these things are repetitive. But hey, I'm not calling it quits after 5 minutes. because it's important, right? And I don't know about you, like this isn't boring to me at all. I hope it's not for you. I hope hearing the Word of God, even if it's the same theme, isn't boring and you can still gain and be edified and learn and be strengthened from the Word of God, even if we were to continue going over the same subject week after week. And you know what, though? And I'll close with this. It is important to receive the edification. And I wasn't even going to speak to this at all. But there was, just real briefly, I don't really know any details, but this is why it's so important. Okay, it's one of the reasons why it's so important. There was a young couple that visited our church, I think about 2 years ago. And the husband just recently committed suicide. Okay. Saved couple. They were here. They went soul winning with us. You know, they lived in Illinois. And he had one child and one on the way. I don't know details. I don't know specifics. As far as I know, they're both saved, serving the Lord. Okay. But, you know, this is why I preach. And even lately, there's been so many different sermons on, look, stay with it. Hang in there. Okay, there's so much in Psalms. Go to God, be poor and needy, but go to the Lord and he will strengthen you and he will get you through. And don't ever think that there's something that's too big for you to handle here, because there's nothing too big for God. Nothing. It's not worth inflicting about the most amount of pain that you probably could on the people who remain by taking your own life. So you just get through that with God and you seek out help, and look, you got a church here. There's other believers that will, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ that will help you. And you absolutely have the Lord to help you too. Don't quit. Don't faint. It's not worth it. But look, we need to hear these messages. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We don't want to fall. So let's humble ourselves. If God just had the same message every week, let's humble ourselves and be like, well, then I must really need to hear this again and again and again. And instead of going, oh, I already heard all this before, I should have just stayed home. It's a bad attitude. I'm telling you, be careful with that. Careful with that. I would never, it boggles my mind, the people that think, oh, I know everything the Bible has to say. Oh, I already read it once. I know all about it. No. I read it every day and I don't know all about it. Not even close. Keep reading more, you're going to realize how much you don't know. Let's bow our eyes, have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we love you, God. We thank you so much for the encouragement that you give us and the strength from your word. Lord, help us. We know that the times are just seemingly just going to continue to get worse and worse. We know absolutely right before you return that the days will be like they were in the time of Noah with the flood, and in the days of Lot when you rained fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah, Lord. So I pray that you'd strengthen us. Pray that you'd please deliver us from evil and wicked doers, and that you'd watch over us and protect us, Lord, but also help us not to keep silent, but that we'd praise your name and just continue to preach truth. Lord, please open up our understanding, grant us wisdom, help us to just know your ways more perfectly, God. We sincerely love you and want to serve you. And Lord, I pray that you'd just strengthen our church, help us to be a good beacon of light that's going to stand on your word and shine forward the truth, Lord. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one last song before we're dismissed for the evening. So if you'd please open up your songbooks to song number 22.
Song number 22, Are You Washed?